Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're ever looking to get behind the scenes, it's simple. Follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, or you will see myself, O-Dog and Noodles, what we do in the studio, before the show, during the show, after the show, constantly updating stories and best of clips. Again, follow us on Instagram at TSN1050.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050.
Brian Hayes with Dave Festchuk of the Toronto Star. Some breaking news this afternoon. Roberto Osuna has been traded to Houston in exchange for Ken Giles, who's a big league arm. His numbers have not been very good this year, but he is a big leaguer, and they've got him under control for a couple of years. He's 27, and he'll find a place in the bullpen for the Blue Jays. And minor leaguers David Paulino and Hector Perez, both of whom are also arms, both of whom are likely bullpen guys. We don't know exactly what they are, what they're going to be. You know, rankings are always subjective. Neither of them are top three or five guys in terms of the pipeline down in Houston. I think it's Paulino's got some PED history.
80-game ban last year.
Yes. And actually, some shoulder issues.
And you talk about, yeah, shoulder issues as well. But you talk about Paulino might be, you know, a similar situation to Osuna. Not in the enormity of his talent. He's not the type of talent Osuna is, because it's one thing to say these guys have a chance to be big league stars. No, Roberto Osuna, at his best, was a big league star. Was a lights out.
He was an all-star last year.
Yeah, was an all-star. Was a lights out, flame-throwing closer, the likes of which there very few teams could boast. And so, anytime you're trading a guy like that for two guys who might be that and probably won't be that, you're losing the deal. The Jays are losing this deal.
Simply from a baseball perspective, even close. If it was only about baseball, Osuna would never be traded. Right. It wouldn't make sense unless it was part of a massive package that brought something back very, very significant. There's no way a team that is obsessed with control and low on talent is trading Roberto Osuna. It just doesn't make any sense. This is very simple to figure out from the Blue Jays perspective. Now, what we'll never figure out is who gave the marching order.
Right.
Was it Shapiro or was it above Shapiro? Was it ownership who said, sorry, but Osuna can never pitch for us again? Or was it Shapiro who said, this probably doesn't make sense? Are they bracing for information to come out? Are they bracing for a backlash from the fan base, from the media? Who knows? But this is more about PR and a moral standard that the Blue Jays have decided to take forward with this, or move forward with this, in terms of actually flipping Osuna. And Houston is going to spin it very differently. Houston is going to spin innocent until proven guilty. We believe in second chances, obviously, because they're taking on the risk with Osuna and who he is and what he represents. And they're willing to look past the baggage that is very, very clear, because they feel like they've got a World Series caliber team, which they do. And now they have an absolute stud closing games for them starting August 5th.
Well, they may have a stud. I mean, we don't know what shape Roberto Osuna is going to be in when he gets back on a big
physically
at-bat.
Or mentally. For
I mean, mentally might be the thing that you worry about the most. I mean, physically we don't know, because we haven't seen him pitch for 70 plus games, and he's going to, you know, that 75 game ban will run out on Saturday. He's eligible to pitch on Sunday, so maybe we'll find out a little more about his physical state. But this is a guy who a year ago, before any of this domestic violence stuff surfaced, you know, took time off for anxiety issues, talked about his mental health challenges. I mean, we're purely speculating here, but it's hard to imagine a guy who's going through what he's gone, being banned from his sport for 75 games, being on the trading block the entire season, already had anxiety issues, now is embroiled in a legal fight, which he plans to plead not guilty when the next court appearance happens, which are the last I saw was scheduled to happen on Wednesday here in Toronto. All those stressors in his life, we don't know how it's going to affect him mentally, but I have a hard time believing he's going to be just peachy.
You can't imagine that he will be, yeah. And we're going to have to wait to see what happens with Osuna. And again, the courts up here in Ontario have not decided what is going to happen with the fate of Roberto Osuna. There's another angle to this, which is much more heavier and more complicated as well. And I don't know how Osuna is going to approach it, but this is a Mexican baseball player who's moving to a border state.
Yeah.
And
in the Trump era.
In the Trump era.
In the build a wall era.
Exactly. And that could be a whole nother element too that he is not prepared for, because the only thing he knows is what it's like to play in Toronto.
Yeah.
That's the only thing he's ever known. And now he's going down to Houston, Texas as a Mexican ball player in the Trump era.
Who's been accused of assault.
Yes. Who's been accused of it, exactly. And there's one thing between the courts and the court of public opinion, which is what we've been talking a lot about over the past few months. And the court of public opinion has a very different viewpoint. But Houston is willing to accept it. The Jays obviously were not willing to fight that fight for Osuna anymore.
No.
And I don't know when they decided they had to flip him, but they've decided to flip him. And what I will say about this is, regardless of what happens in the future, because Osuna could have a 15-year career going forward that is lights out, borderline Hall of Fame caliber.
Sure.
Who knows
sure.
where he's going to take it. And you know hindsight will be 20/20. If he does go on to have a great career and the charges are dropped and the dust settles and no tape comes out or no video or no picture comes out, in maybe a few months, let alone a few years, people are going to look back and just chastise Shapiro and Atkins and say, how could you possibly do that? But in the moment, I can understand it from a PR perspective. I'm not gonna run Shapiro and Atkins out of town because they either decided on their own, or I think more likely the ownership told them, this guy can't play here anymore. So get whatever you can, and he's got to go.
Right.
Like, I will take runs at Shapiro and Atkins and the way that they've run this organization for many, many different stories and for many, many different reasons and different angles. There are a lot of reasons for pessimism when it comes to what they've built here and where they're taking this organization. The team was awful last year. They're even worse this year. Everything has gone to hell. Not all of it because of their doing, but some of the quite frankly, mismanagement.
Oh, yeah.
But this is not one I'm going to blame them for. Blame Roberto Osuna for putting the organization in this position.
Right.
He was the one that got charged, that got arrested and got charged, and then accepted the 75-game suspension.
Exactly.
So
and now
look
he's
at
the
Osuna.
One. You're right. I agree with you. This is all on Roberto Osuna. This is, and it's just a shame. And when it comes to baseball, it's an absolute shame if you're a Blue Jays fan, because you've had to throw over the side a 23-year-old talent that you wanted to keep, that you would love to be able to have around as this team rebuilds in the Vladdy Guerrero Jr. era. This is the kind of guy you could have controlled. This is the kind of guy you had. He's under control until 2020. This is the kind of guy you would have loved to have in town. This is a guy who was a feel-good story. And now he's a black mark. And the idea that you can be traded well under suspension in Major League Baseball, it just doesn't sit well with me. It doesn't sit well with me that the Houston Astros are heading to the World Series, or certainly believe they can head to the World Series after winning it last year. They certainly have the talent to get there again this year, and they can just pick up a guy for essentially, you know, a minimal haul.
At least on paper.
At least on paper. Because of the woe put upon the Blue Jays organization and the Blue Jays fan base, not to mention this victim, alleged victim in this case that's still before the courts of domestic violence, all that can happen. And guess who comes out on the good end? The Houston Astros.
Mm-hmm.
They could be laughing here, because as you say, this guy, if he's right mentally and physically, I mean, his talent is huge.
He's
an absolute stud. And
this guy could be closing out games in the World Series.
And the Blue Jays had to throw him to the side for a couple of maybes in Paulino and Perez, who, hey, you know, Perez is 22 years old. He's the 10th best prospect on the Houston Astros depth chart, according to Keith Law. He may be really good. Paulino was the third best prospect on the Astros depth chart last year until he got that 80-game ban for PEDs when his stock fell. And now he's in the 20s somewhere in terms of their prospect rankings. So they're both maybes.
Right.
Osuna was, when he's mentally and physically correct, was a sure thing.
An absolute lock stud closer on 20 to 25 teams in the league.
Yeah.
Like,
and
that's
what's sad about this. Beyond the domestic violence, which is obviously sad and you know, heinous and not forgivable, if he's guilty of it, of course, he's going to plead not guilty, his lawyer has already said. But he did accept the 75-game suspension, which he's still serving. So What a mess of a case.
It is a mess, and I do wonder how baseball allows something like this to happen. Forget while he's currently being suspended, but while his case is still in the court system. Like, that's where I find it more difficult to believe. Like, it's one thing if it's your own legislation. You know, we're suspending this guy because of PEDs. It's not in the court system. Right. There's no lawyers involved or anything like that. It's our own jurisdiction. It's our own, legal standing.
Sure.
We're suspending you. Okay, you can still be traded because it's within our own bubble. This is not in the hands of Major League Baseball.
This
the fate of Roberto
issue.
Osuna. It has nothing to do with them. This has everything to do with the court systems of Ontario here. So from that standpoint, I'm surprised that they haven't thought that this could possibly pop up. And I do wonder if this will become kind of a groundbreaking moment in baseball, maybe in pro sports, where they do legislate into their CBA and say, if you're currently dealing with something that is live in the court system, you can't be traded. You can't leave the city and now you're in Houston.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do that.
No, like, that's 100% right. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. I mean,
now, the Jays are probably ecstatic that that rule isn't there because they obviously wanted to unload him.
Oh, yeah.
They wanted to get rid of him, and they found a team that would take him. And that from that standpoint, no one's going to give credit to the Jays because, you know, fans are going to be thinking, well, how many wins can we get? Who are we getting in return? Yeah, I don't like the allegations, but I'm a Blue Jay fan. I want to see where they can take this team. The fact that Shapiron Atkins actually found a taker, and maybe some of these guys, maybe one or two of them turn out to be big league players, you could spin it that the fact that they could even make a deal says something about their abilities.
Well, it says that Roberto Osuna is a massive talent, is what it says. Because he is such a massive talent, and the skills he provides to be able to close down a ninth inning, and the Astros were looking for a guy to close down the ninth inning, they're so rare that the Astros are taking a huge gamble here. They're willing to take the gamble. They're willing to take whatever PR hit they take and whatever outrage that arises and whatever, you know, anti-Mexican immigrant sentiment that is suddenly dusted up in Texas, a state where obviously that's a flashpoint in the Trump era. And here's a guy who's been accused of domestic assault, who is now being exported to Texas, who happens to hail from Mexico. You can just imagine, you know, the way some people of certain political leanings will make hay with that. And the Astros are taking that risk because they believe this guy gets them that much closer to a World Series because he's that good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which is
exactly
amazing.
That's the front they're putting up. They can spin whatever they want. Because 28 other teams are like, no thanks.
Exactly.
You know, or we're not willing to pay whatever price they were willing to pay. I mean, that'll be intriguing to see where the reporting takes us here. Were there any other teams that were willing to take him on?
Yeah.
How many teams that were in contention? Because there's only so many that would. But you also got to understand, this isn't just about a win-now moment. Like, Osuna is young and under control.
23 years old.
Like, the worst team in the league could have said, you know what, we can get him for 25 cents on the dollar, and if everything clears up, we've got ourselves a stud here.
Right.
So it didn't necessarily have to be a contender that made the move.
No.
So we'll see. I mean, we'll see how many teams are going to tell the MLB insiders, we told the Jays don't call us back because we're just not interested, or I can't sell it to my ownership, or I'm afraid my fans in the media will absolutely just blast us for this move, so we can't even pretend to go down this road.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting climate. I mean, just 2 years ago, 2016 World Series, the Chicago Cubs, maybe they don't win it if Aroldis Chapman isn't in their bullpen. And, of course, at that moment, he'd been traded from the Yankees. The Yankees had acquired him in the wake of his domestic assault issues, where there were I don't believe there were charges laid, or certainly the legal aspect of it evaporated.
It didn't have many legs.
It didn't have legs, but there was certainly, you know, there was certainly a 30-game suspension surrounding it. There were certainly allegations that he choked his significant other and fired off some gunshots in her vicinity that didn't hit her, thankfully. And all the rest of it. And we don't need to get into the whole thing, but the bottom line was, Chicago Cubs, there was a moral dilemma there. Could you really cheer for Aroldis Chapman if you were a Cubs fan, knowing what you knew about, you know, what he'd done why they were able to get him for what they got him for?
Well, so, they did give up Gleyber Torres. I mean, let's not forget. Like, they traded Gleyber Torres for him. They traded a legit stud.
Okay. Fair point. No, but an enormous talent, a guy with heat like very few guys can provide heat, And, you know, maybe the most heat we've ever seen, right? Like Aroldis Chapman. So
hits 100 on the gun.
105, you know, tattooed on his arm, right? So that's the thing here. Like, if you're a Major League Baseball fan, if you're somebody that looks out for the good of the game, and I don't know who that person is, because it doesn't seem to be Rob Manfred, the commissioner. But this doesn't help the good of the game.
No, optically, again, there's no way baseball can be happy with this, especially considering the current climate with these tweets that are resurfacing of all these players
when
they were 17 and 18, tweeting out, you know, racial stuff and homophobic stuff, and have to answer for it now. And now you've got a guy who's accused of something and is currently suspended, who's being flipped to your World Series champ, who's going back to the playoffs, and there's a real good chance they're going to win another World Series. Optically, that just is not a good thing. But the reality is, I mean, the majority of fans, they talk a big game, you know, and not even all of them do, but I don't think the majority of fans really care that much about the players. This is a fantasy world for fans.
Yeah.
You know, it's a fantasy. I love my team. I'll support the players that are on that team. If they win, that's great. They maybe pay lip service to it, calling into shows, maybe tweeting out whatever they're going to tweet out. But in reality, do you think many people in Houston are going to stop watching Astros games? I don't.
It's a good question.
I don't.
I mean, look, baseball, though, you could make the case baseball's, you know, having a bit of a crisis season. We've seen a massive drop-off in attendance, right?
But I don't think that's because of controversies. I think there's deeper issues than that.
It's never one thing. It's never one thing. But if your players aren't relatable, let's just say that. If your players aren't relatable, if it's just a given that A, B, C, you know, star number one, star number two, they're just a bunch of, you know, lowlifes. You know, like, if, you know, for lack of a better term, like, there's no morals in the game anymore. They're probably, you know, that this guy, you know, smacks around his girlfriend, and this guy, you know, has tweeted racist stuff, and this guy's a homophobe. You know, look at his tweets, and you can see it. I mean, and if none of that matters, I mean, that's a slippery slope, right? Like, I mean, if you just allow those things to pile up,
but it's
that can get out of control.
It's been piling up in others. Like, the NFL has had a lot of problems, off-the-field problems,
right,
and they still do monster ratings and just roll in cash, and it's, you know, people make a big deal of it. Is this the end of the NFL? Is this what's going to push people away? And it doesn't.
Yeah,
it never has, and I really don't think it ever will until the fundamentals of the game start changing the way we look upon the game. And by that, I mean player safety. And that's, again, the great hypocrisy of a lot of fans and even the media, who are like, oh, of course, player safety, that's the highest priority. Okay, let's change all these rules. Who are the first people to complain about those rules?
Yeah.
The fans and the media, because they're like, what the hell is this? This isn't the sport that I grew up loving and watching, and I don't think I want to see this anymore. That's a more dangerous, slippery slope in reality, is that you're changing the way the game looks. And I think that is really at the root of a lot of baseball's problems, is the shift, is the amount of strikeouts, the lack of balls in play, which is what we've talked about before. It's not tweets from 6 or 7 years ago. You know, those are flashy,
I mean, obviously,
and they're controversial.
Yeah, it's all the drop in the bucket. But my point is, the bucket eventually fills up. You know, the bucket eventually fills up. And, you know, this is a sport, Hayes, where, you know, people attach themselves, right? People attach themselves to stars. People attach, and there's an idea that there is a moral center to the game because, hey, Pete Rose can't be in the Hall of Fame because what he did was morally wrong and it was a crime against the game. And those may be vestiges of the past, but they're a big part of what has made this game what it is. And I'm just saying, what kind of a risk are you taking here? So the second year in 3 years, you're going to have a guy, you know, theoretically, possibly, hypothetically, closing down the World Series the way Aroldis Chapman did for the Cubs in 2016, that Roberto Osuna could be closing down a World Series with, in a new case, domestic charges still pending against him.
Right, but when you think of the Cubs winning that title, do you think of a Chapman first?
Not first.
Because I don't.
Not
I guarantee
first.
You Cubs fans don't.
No, that's fair.
I'll bet you it's not even in the top 10.
Well, that's partly because it was one of the great moments in sports history because of the length of the streak.
And exactly.
And the 108-year, absolute drought of you know, one of the great lovable loser stories in all of sports, you know, suddenly
nothing
being turned
could
on its
jade
head.
That. Nothing could make could that jade a jaded that. Story.
But it still was there. I mean, there was a ton of
it was.
You know, words spoken and ink dropped and internet bandwidth used on that story.
It would have been bigger if they didn't win the World Series.
Sure.
People would have looked back and said, not only did you lose, look what you did.
Sure.
You put your principles at stake. And from a Blue Jay perspective, again, if you're just tuning in, they've traded Roberto Osuna to Houston for three arms. Ken Giles is a big leaguer and a couple of prospects who may or may not turn out, depending on which scout you hear from. But what this does for the Jays is now this sets a precedence, because I'll be very intrigued to hear how Ross Atkins explains this deal. Because I kind of have a feeling, just based on his history, he's going to try to sell it like, no, this was a baseball deal. We felt like we got great return, which I won't believe a second of, but I think that's what he'll more than likely try to sell. I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Yep.
This may be one where Shapiro has to come out and speak, and it won't actually be Atkins doing the rounds.
Yeah.
It may be Shapiro who has to come out and speak.
Well, it would seem appropriate.
You would think so. Like, remember a few years ago when the Leafs suspended Kadri?
Yes.
Shanahan spoke.
Great point.
Wasn't noticed. Shanahan went out and was like, this is bigger than just your standard transaction. I need to get out in front of this. I'll be curious to see if it's Shapiro over Atkins. But if they try to pretend that this was simply the right baseball move, no one's going to buy it. It'll be a waste of air. But the reason they might do that is to save themselves in the future,
mm-hmm.
because of the precedents that they've now set. If they go on the record and say, we as an organization will not accept this, we're making a moral stand, okay, that's fine. And I'll even commend you for it, but you better hold on to it.
Yeah.
Because if a superstar, and Osuna's close to one, make no mistake, but if a young superstar breaking out or an established guy, or God forbid they actually win a World Series, and in that offseason the guy who hit the big home run or whatever gets clipped for the same allegation, you set your standard, man.
Oh, exactly.
That guy's got to go too.
You're right. You're better to be vague about it if you're really trying to protect yourself.
That's kind of what I feel like they're going to do here.
You got to be vague about it. You can make the case for being vague about it because the matter's still before the courts and we don't know, you know, what's
they're
going
vague
to go
about
on here.
Everything anyway. This
well,
team.
Yeah, that's just their nature. But I mean, and hey, they can. I guess they can. You know, as much as you and I sit here and are skeptical about the magnitude of the haul here in terms of Ken Giles, Paulino and Hector Perez, it's David Paulino, right? And mm-hmm. and they can spin it as, hey, Hector Perez is one of the top 10 prospects in the Houston Astros organization, who's 22 years old and still has a ton of upside. David Paulino, until he was suspended 80 games last year, was the third best prospect by some measures in the Houston Astros organization. So they can say, hey, we got two top 10 prospects out of the World Series champions who've been known to be running an awfully good farm system. So we feel pretty good about this haul. And yes, we're sad to see Roberto Osuna go. His talent was enormous, but we had to make this happen. We're comfortable with it, and we do believe in the guys that we're bringing aboard, and they could probably say that with somewhat of a straight face.
Well, and another thing that I don't expect to hear from them, but might also be truthful, is they're not convinced Osuna's career will ever get back on track. They may be looking at this saying, you know, we've been talking to him. We've been talking with his people. We've been watching him at rehab starts. We've been watching him warm up. We've been tuned into his demeanor and how he's responded to all of this. And we really don't think he's ever going to pitch well again.
Yep.
Which, again, would throw out the window the idea that this is about taking a moral stand. That's why they're not going to say that publicly.
They won't say that because that would be essentially kicking dirt on the Houston Astros, saying we traded you
a guy who we think
is threw garbage into your pipeline, and if you think he's going to be able to close for you in the World Series, you got another thing coming because he can't do it. And hey, there's every reason to believe he can't do it. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, as we just said, this is a guy who last year had these issues with anxiety. Then he has this, you know, police charge. Then he has a court date for, you know, Wednesday, where he intends to plead guilty according to his lawyer to this domestic assault charge. So to believe that he can just walk out onto a mound on Sunday when he's eligible to pitch and throw the flame the way he's been able to throw it with no residual mental hindrances and nothing else going on, I mean, that's awfully optimistic to me. And I'd be surprised if this guy can just walk out there and perform at the elite level he's been able to perform at his best, as though nothing's happened. That seems like a stretch to me.
John Morosi of FS1 and the MLB Network tweeting out just moments ago, source telling him that the Blue Jays decided earlier this season that Roberto Osuna would not pitch for them again at the MLB level following the domestic violence incident. Blue Jays ownership and management decided to make the best trade they could. This was the best trade they had. Okay. So, again, I think the inclusion of ownership in that, not surprising. This is a publicly owned company, a company that obviously has a lot of clout in this country and has a lot on the line in this country.
Yeah.
And I hearken back to, again, when Atkins first came out and spoke to the media right after he had been arrested. And he didn't look necessarily dejected, but you could tell that he was kind of shocked. You could tell he knew more than what he was leading on. And he never really mentioned the idea that they were supporting their guy, Roberto.
No, he didn't.
It was never, hey, until, you know, innocent until proven guilty, he's our guy, and we hope everything plays out here. He was very, very sympathetic to the alleged victim, which he should be, of course, and the significance of the allegations.
Yeah, and you had it too. Like, your spidey senses were going off when you heard him say that when the suspension ends, he'll be our closer. That sounded awfully hollow.
Yes.
It didn't sound sincere. It sounded like a guy who was trying to make a trade, trying to make the rest of the world believe that there was a possibility they could move forward with Roberto Osuna.
Absolutely. You got to put forth that front.
Yeah.
Because if you let the rest of the league know you've got no interest in him ever playing for, you're not going to give them anything.
Exactly.
So again, to their credit, if any of these guys turn out, if any of these three arms that they got turned out, then it may in retrospect actually be a very savvy deal made by Shapiro.
Oh, yeah.
Atkins.
I mean, hey.
If 2 months ago they decided this guy's got to go, he can never pitch for us again. Steve Phillips, our Jays insider, will join us. We'll get his take on this. Again, Roberto Osuna has been traded from Toronto to the Houston Astros in exchange for relief pitchers Ken Giles and minor leaguers David Polino and Hector Perez. We'll get Steve Phillips in here, his take on the deal, what it means for the Blue Jays today and going forward. We'll get to that next. All right, so we've been talking about it for over an hour now. Breaking news this afternoon, the Jays have traded Roberto Osuna to Houston in exchange for Ken Giles, who's a big league reliever, and a couple of minor league relief arms, David Polino and Hector Perez. He's still serving a suspension. Osuna is suspended through August 5th. He's expected to join the team this upcoming weekend down in Houston. We presume he'll step right in. More than likely going to be a guy who closes games for him. When he's healthy and he doesn't have any baggage hanging over him, this kid's a stud, and he's under control for a couple of more years, and he's put up big, big numbers. But obviously, that baggage is here, and it's been here ever since he got arrested, ever since he got charged, and ever since he accepted the 75-game ban without appealing it. So from a court of public opinion standpoint, that hurt him.
Yeah, and he's got a court date, an actual court date set for Wednesday
right
here in Toronto, where he intends, according to his lawyer, to plead not guilty to this domestic violence charge.
Let's bring in our TSN Jays analyst, Steve Phillips. Steve, your reaction to the trade?
I think it's a huge deal for the Blue Jays. I really do. I'm shocked that they were able to get the deal done, and I'm shocked they were able to get the return that they did. Now, you know, I mean, here's the thing. They found the one team desperate. You know, this is what happens when you lose out on Alex Colomé, when you lose out on Kelvin Herrera, when you lose out on Zach Britton and Jeris Familia, and you feel like, you know what, we desperately need a closer. Where do we go? And I credit Mark Shapiro Ross Atkins to be able to find that situation. And the one thing that became clear is that, you know, all along Ross Atkins kept saying, well, yeah, if he's here, he's going to be our closer. And I think ownership got to the point they realized, I mean, I have to believe this is what happened with it, that they looked at this and thought, boy, it sure feels like bad form to be able to have Osuna pitching in a Blue Jays uniform on the mound with his court case still pending. Yes, he served a suspension that for whatever he did, he deemed that it was worthy of a 75-game suspension. That's not insignificant. And I think the team looked at it and thought, how do we do this? How do we manage it? And so to be able to pull the trigger before the trade deadline, before the waiver period, before his court case tomorrow on Wednesday, is remarkable to me. And then effectively what they did is they traded their problem for the Astros' problem, right? Ken Giles was an Astros' problem. Really talented guy. Was, you know, emerged as their closer last year after the deal from the Phillies after some struggles early. But he was prone to meltdowns, right? We saw it in the postseason. They got to the point that they avoided him at all costs in the most critical moments. They went to McCullers and Peacock and Morton to close out the World Series championship, and they won. And they came in this year saying, Giles is our guy. We're going to go with him. We believe in his stuff. And he had some moments this year, but again, the meltdowns came. One famous one was where he walked off the mound and literally punched himself in the face. Like, he twice punched himself in the face. Now, that's not really a way to handle a tough outing if you're a closer, right? The idea is short memory, don't overreact, go get him the next day. And he lost it a bit. And then he got sent down to the minor leagues after barking at A.J. Hinch, the manager of the Astros, when he took him out. But he's 27. You got two more years of control. Yes, he's got warts. There's no question. But he's got 9,900-mile-per-hour fastball with a devastating breaking ball and a change of scenery in a new environment where he's going to feel welcomed and wanted without the baggage. It is a huge return for Osuna. Then to get two prospects on top of it, the 23rd best prospect in Paulino, who's 24 years old, at one point was one of the better pitching prospects in the organization, and then Hector Perez, 22 years old, pitching at AA. He's got a really good arm. They both get swings and misses. I never in my wildest imagination would have thought that they could get this kind of return for him. This is what desperate people do in desperate moments, and they trade for Osuna and give up a ton.
With Steve Phillips, well, I mean, we'll see if it's a ton, if it all works out, right? I mean,
relative to what, you know, I mean, listen, when you've got a guy who got suspended for 75 games and you're in a position where you don't really want him pitching for you, but you don't want to give him away. And there are a lot of teams. I talked to some executives who are like, yeah, I'm not taking Osuna. I can't. I just can't do it. I mean, you know, whatever the issue is, it was 75-game suspension, so he did something. And I can't bring him to my team and do it. And I remember, it's interesting because when I had Carl Everett back as general manager for the Mets, my second week on the job as general manager, we had a child abuse situation where it was reported by a mandatory reporter that one of his kids had welts and bruises and cuts on him. And the police took the two kids, to go get examined. And it wasn't Carl. It turned out that his wife, who was the stepmother of these kids, was having some issues in disciplining them. And it was, you know, they were taken away. The kids were taken away from the parents. At the end of the year, Everett was kind of upset that the mandatory reporter who worked for the organization in the babysitting room, the kids' room, reported, but they had to. It was by law. They had to report it when they saw it. And I thought, I can't keep them, so I need to trade them. And there were some teams that I called. They're like, yeah, I can't take them. I'd love to have them, but I can't take them. The team that ended up taking them were the Houston Astros. Now, back then, there was a different ownership. Jerry Hunsaker was the general manager at the time. Drake McLean was the owner at the time, but it was an environment, a fan base that seemed willing to accept and give a second chance. And look, I'm all for second chances, got them myself, and I'm grateful for them. And I believe in redemption stories and all of that, but not every team would have made this deal, and many teams would have rejected it out of hand. The fact they found the one team that had a decent return is pretty significant considering what I thought they might get in return for them.
I'm on the edge of my seat to see how the Jays react to this and what they say publicly, because they put forth a poker face. Reports are already coming out that they made the decision months ago, and I would guess, I'm with you, my inclination would suggest that this was ownership saying he can't play again for us, especially if it's still in the hands of the courts, which it still is. So they put forth a front, like, no, it's all good. When he comes back, he's pitching. Of course he's going to pitch. Every other trade that takes place, it's Ross Atkins that comes out to speak. I think this should be Shapiro. This feels like a Shapiro moment. Everyone knows he's the one that's running this team. He's the one that's making decisions. He's the one that's, if ownership's involved, they're not going to Atkins to speak about it. They're going to Shapiro to talk about it. So I personally think it should be Shapiro that comes out and speaks with the media about this deal. But I don't know how he's going to spin this. Because I don't think he's going to honestly come out and say, we decided he could never pitch again, because then that sets precedence for the future. That means if someone else does it in the future, they got to go too. And I'm not sure they want to put themselves in that position publicly, but you know, if they come out and they're like, no, this is all about baseball, no one's going to believe them. Of course it's not only about baseball. So do you think it should be Shapiro? And if so, how do you think he's going to speak about this publicly?
Yeah, I do. I think that ought to be Ross and Mark together. I do. I think that Mark should have some say in it because, you know, Ross came up earlier and said, yeah, of course Osuna is going to be our closer. And I believe him. If Osuna was still here and they weren't able to make the trade and he was activated, then he would have been their closer. The only other option would have been to maybe release him if they wanted to do that. I guess they could do that. But I think they looked at it and thought, if he's here, he's going to close. But ownership, and I kept thinking all along, boy, it just doesn't feel right for me to have him pitching with his court case pending. One, the distraction of it is one thing, but just it was bad form. Until you know what the penalty is and what he actually did, yes, and that's why I kept suggesting find a way to give him a paid suspension to be able to stay away until it was settled because it just didn't feel right. And so I think ownership, you know, must have you know, when they arrived at this conclusion, I don't know. But maybe somebody can speak to that. But I don't think this was a GM decision. This was an organizational decision, and those stem from the president and the ownership, and then the general manager executes the plans. He goes out there and finds the deal to be made if a deal needs to be made. If they say cut your losses, we really can't do this. We're all for second chances, but sometimes the second chance is better in a different location. Go ahead and make the deal you can. I suspect that was the directive they were given, if they could possibly make that deal. And I think they probably had to say to ownership, I'm not sure anybody's going to touch him until there's some resolution to his case. And I honestly thought the only deal they could make would be one where they trade him with players to be named later coming back in return that you know, are dictated based upon how much he pitched for the other team. Because if they got him and he wasn't active, then they got a guy that has no value to him at all, and that might have been reflected in a player to be named later, that, you know, Group A, Group B, Group C, depending upon how much active service he got, maybe you could make a deal. The fact they get Giles, I get it, problem for problem, but then you get two prospects on top of it. Whatever they give the Jays in depth of pitching and some service time and middle relief or maybe a back-end starter, I think is extraordinary value considering the circumstances.
Well, Steve, you've sat in that chair. You've been a GM of a club. I mean, how do you feel about the idea that Osuna's been traded, A, while under suspension, and B, while this matter remains before the courts?
If I am the Blue Jays, if I'm Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro, I'm slapping high fives and celebrating in shock that I was able to make this kind of a deal. If I were a general manager out there, I would not have made a trade for him. Not now. Not until I knew. I mean, you can tell me what happened. If I'm the Astros, Jeff Luhnow talking to Mark Shapiro, Ross Atkins, saying, hey, what can you tell me about this? And I can have my lawyers do digging and all of that. But until there's some resolution that the court system runs its course and there's some resolution to it, how do I touch him?
Exactly.
Because if he's found guilty, his immigration and visa status is in peril. And to think that I'm going to bank my season, and that's why I look at that as the desperate people do desperate things, because this is a rather desperate move, I believe, by the Astros, because the risk that they're assuming is significant because he may not pitch free at all. You just don't know yet. He's got a court case on Wednesday, and so they looked at it and said, well, if we wait, we're not going to get him through waivers because he would get blocked on waivers. Somebody would put a claim in on him and be able to, and even if the Jay said, no, you take him, he's yours, they justify it by saying, all right, look, I tried to block. I didn't really want him, but we'll take him and we'll let this thing run its course and try to figure out what we're going to do. He would never have gotten to the Astros. So if the Astros wanted him, they had to make the deal now. But they must realize they're assuming a pretty significant risk.
With Steve Phillips, our Jays analyst. So, breaking news in the previous hour, Roberto Osuna traded from the Jays to Houston for three arms in return. Ross Atkins is doing a conference call with some media members right now, which, again, is surprising to me. I would have sent Shapiro up for this. This is much bigger than your standard deal. But I think what they're trying to do potentially with sending Atkins out, and just based on some of the tweets coming in on what he's saying, is they're trying to put forth the front that this is actually just a baseball deal. And based on some of the tweets coming in, courtesy of Rob Longley here from The Sun, Atkinson, quote, there were a couple of other teams that were interested, and it came down to Houston being the most interested, end quote. And other tweets coming in from other media members suggesting that Atkins is trying to sell this as simply a baseball deal. And if that is actually what he's going to try to sell, that's ridiculous. I mean, there's just no way that's the truth. There's no way they were thinking Osuna needs to go simply because of what's going to happen on the diamond. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, you're 100% right. Because here's the reality of it. You trade players where you're going to get peak value in return, right? His value is diminished based upon the fact that he's in the midst of a 75-game suspension for domestic violence. The baseball part of his value is easy. Every team, 2019, has raised their hand and said, yeah, I'll take him. And then when you say, okay, well, tell me the story. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, no. So the only reason that the Jays would trade him at all, he wasn't a guy you'd make available at the deadline. You got 2 more years of control. If that's the case, why aren't you trading Sanchez and Marcus Stroman? Same level of control. They've underperformed. They're not trading those guys hoping to get some nickels on the dollar. I think there's a way that, you know, there's a way of selling that makes you say, okay, I don't want to crush the player. I don't want to criticize the other team for taking them. I want other players to know that we're going to protect them in some way here and in the way that we talk about them. So I get that, but I think there has to be some acknowledgement that there was a shift in position from where Ross was earlier. And you have to explain why you said he'd be the closer then, and now you're going ahead and trading him. It just doesn't feel right, and it's the right angle or right story or presentation. Just be honest about it, because I think most people would recognize, I get it. I completely get it.
Absolutely.
It's, right? I think people will understand, even if they thought, you know what, I'd be willing to live with him coming back and trying to wait to see what the story was. You can understand from a business perspective, you've got an asset that is at risk of getting nothing in return and maybe trying to put it out there because of this other issue that you don't want it to stand for the brand and compromise the brand of your company. You've got to make some of these tough decisions. I think most people would understand that. You might as well just tell it like it is.
Yes, like it or dislike it for whatever possible reason. No one out there can say that I don't understand it. Everyone can be like, I understand why you would come to that conclusion. Even if I'm a proponent of second chances or a proponent of innocent until proven guilty or just simply a proponent of please get the most, the best acquisition possible or put forth the best possible team possible. From that standpoint, you could still step aside and say, you know what, I understand why. But don't treat people like fools. I mean, this is what is going to cause a problem for this executive team. Is that they were selling this to the fan base prior to the season, that this was actually going to be a quality team to sell tickets, and no one bought it because everyone knew they weren't going to be any good. And now they're going to try to sell this as if it's just a baseball trade? I mean, you're talking about your own credibility, which, quite frankly, for Atkins and Shapiro, is not in a good spot in this city right now, Steve. It's in a bad spot already, man.
Yeah, nobody trades a 23-year-old closer with 2 years of control left for baseball reasons, especially if you're not saying that you're in a full-blown rebuild. And so, because effectively what they've done is, you know, they made the deal for Jay Happ, and they brought in 2 guys to help compete for the Major League team for next year. This deal brings in a guy to help compete for next year, but he's not Osuna. He's 27. He's got warts. They looked at it and said, all right, well, our warts are worse than your warts, so we'll take your guy. And by the way, you got to throw in a couple extra because, you know, your guy has warts. I think this is where, you know, a lot of us as general managers and organizations sometimes go wrong, because there's a calculus that happens where you think to yourself, okay, this is what people are going to think, and therefore this is how we need to answer the question. Instead of just saying, I think that they can understand and handle the truth behind this, which is it's a tough situation. We could have gone in a number of different directions, but we looked at it and thought, you know what, this is best for our company, best for our brand, to maybe get what we can for them, not knowing what the outcome is going to be, and bring back a return. And people would say, geez, I don't like what you got, if you say whatever, but they'd at least understand it, because it's a tough circumstance and situation. And for companies, you've got to make these decisions, which are really difficult ones sometimes, and you hope you make the right one. But just, you know, and you're right. Don't treat people like they're stupid because they know better.
Yes, absolutely. We'll see what else unfolds here down the road. Always appreciate it on short notice. Thank you, Steve.
Of course, you got it. My pleasure.
Steve Phillips, our Jays analyst. We'll come back and recap the deal, the reaction. We're waiting for the audio to come in. Again, Ross Atkins speaking with the media over a conference call right now, and we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Best bets brought to you by ProLine. The Jays are in Oakland tonight. Oakland's been on a heater recently. I will take Oakland at home. I'm going to be on Arizona at home against Texas and Boston at home. Actually, that's Arizona 2+ at home over Texas and Boston at home as well. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, event info, matchup stats on your phone. ProLine, get way into the game. So Roberto Osuna traded to Houston earlier this afternoon in exchange for Ken Giles, who's a big leaguer, and a couple of minor league arms who have potential, but we don't know exactly what they're going to be until they actually get to the majors, if they get there at all. Ross Atkins, I believe, just wrapped up a conference call, so we'll have that audio for you tonight on SportsCenter Hits, and tomorrow morning, Landsberg in the morning, will be all over this trade and the reaction to it, and it'll be interesting to see how the fan base reacts.
It certainly will. It's funny how Ross Atkins is spinning it as a baseball trade, because you and I both know you never trade a 23-year-old stud who makes $5 million if you don't have to. And they just did.
If this deal was on the table 4 months ago, the Jays would laugh.
Of course.
Houston wouldn't have the audacity to make this offer.
No.
They just wouldn't.
Players like Roberto Osuna are untradeable unless something comes up. And you guess what that something is? A court date.
Right.
Wednesday.
All right, Dave, you're back in here tomorrow.
Looking forward to it.
All right, man. There's Dave Fastrack of the Toronto Star. I am Brian Hayes. We are out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m. We'll chat then.